Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah, chapter 41, just after Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible there. Go a few pages to the right. Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to read verses 10 through 13. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray, my wife will come and sing a special, and then I'll preach to you this morning. Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. Help me to help your people this morning. You've been so very good to us. I pray that you just bless today, use today to help your people. We stand before you a needy people. May we listen. May we take to heart what you have to say in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me your attention today. I think that I'll be able to help you and help you in a long-term way. Many people live life feeling helpless. Many feel that though they have a family, they're still alone in life. Many live in fear. They fear money issues. They fear for their safety. They fear for security. They fear being lonely. In a world of super communication, many still walk around lonely and fearful. Let me say, I thank God for Grace Baptist Church. I thank God for my church. I do not know how people make it in life without a church. I mean that. We were all packed into Marcia's house last night. Boxes everywhere. Everybody pushing pizza in their face. Acting a fool like we did anyway. And Don and Debbie were there. And Shane and Dee and some other newer families in our church. And I said, well, and Randy and Leanne. I said, welcome to a church family. Leanne was standing there, had a cane last night, and I kicked her cane out from underneath her, and she hit me with it. Couldn't believe it. Randy looked at me and said, usually she only hits me with that. It's okay. I got a bigger stick, amen? Wait a minute. You say, what was that? A church family. I heard story after story. Boy, when I moved, it was just me or just me and my wife that had to move. I'm glad we have a church family. No wonder people have no hope. They don't go to church. Or their church doesn't care to step in and help. That doesn't mean church is a welfare program where we pay all your bills, just so you know. You laugh, but 2 weeks ago I started getting phone calls about if we're helping families for Christmas. It starts in October. It really does. You see, your church is here to be a part of every part of your life. Church is not something you just visit once or twice or three times a week. Church is to be your family. It's a part of your family. It's a part of your life. It's not just something you go visit like, please don't get mad when I say this, like the Catholics. You go check in, put your time in, check out, and you did your thing for the week, and you're good till the next confession. Church is supposed to be a part of every part of your life and your security. God is telling the nation of Israel here in Isaiah 41, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. You know, I love that. My daughter was very afraid of storms much of her life. If you said the word storm, she thought she was going to die in a tornado. I mean, she thought every storm had tornadoes and she was going to die. She watched The Wizard of Oz when she was a little girl. She still won't watch that thing. She's afraid of that. If you say that, she leaves the house, man. She don't want nothing to do with it. That thing traumatized her. You say, what do? We turn it on every time she's there just to watch her run, amen? You say, oh, you're so mean. Uh-huh. Yeah, buddy. But she went to college, and, you know, they get some pretty good storms in Kentucky. They're on the other side of the mountains. They get those Midwest storms and tornado warnings and tornado sirens and this, that, and the other. She called me the first. I said, Mindy, I said, let me tell you something. If I'm not worried, when I get worried, start getting worried. Until then, knock it off. I had to tell her, if you see me afraid, it's time to get afraid. I would look at her when she was all panicked and say, do I look afraid? No, sir. I said, all right, then what are you afraid of? When I look afraid, then get afraid. Until then, don't worry about it. Yes, sir. But I'm still afraid. She's rebellious like somebody else I know. Not my wife either. God was telling Israel, he said, don't be afraid. I'll help you. Can I tell you something? If God's not afraid, don't worry about it. I happen to know something. God's not afraid. This was not a promise just to Israel. It applies to you and me. God said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's the every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means if God said it, we can... It's not God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. Amen. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it settles it. And God told us that we don't have to fear that he is there and he will help us. God is not some mean dictatorial voice just demanding that you do what he says. He said, you don't have to be afraid. I'm there. I'll help you. God's not like the Wizard of Oz pulling all the strings and blowing smoke with a big deep voice. God says, I don't know where the Wizard of Oz came into this, but there it is. It's not even in my notes, all right? The Holy Spirit is using that which put into my brain. Wrong answer. But God is not this big, deep, booming voice that, fear thou not, big, echoey voice. No, he's not. Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you to live in fear. I did not want my children to live fearfully. Do you? I'll be honest with you. I don't want to live fearfully. I've been afraid a few times. I don't like being afraid. What was it yesterday? Brother Barnes and Wyatt and I were out making some visits. And Wyatt was talking about a scary dream. And he said, what was your scariest dream? I remember it quite well. Say, what was it? I was an adult. I was an assistant pastor for Dr. Jack Hiles. And he asked me to preach for him on a Wednesday night while he was away on vacation. Can you imagine? I think I was 29, maybe 30 years old, and I have to preach on a Wednesday night to 5,000 people for Dr. Jack Hiles. That's enough to make the knees weak. But it wasn't like he told me 2 weeks before he left. We knew for months. So you relive this thing every day for 3 or 4 months. I mean, every day of your life. That was cruel and unjust punishment. I remember in that time frame, I woke up one night just sweating and almost screaming. I was so fearful. I had had this dream that I got up to preach on that Wednesday night that he was not there, opened my Bible after everything was done to get ready, and my sermon wasn't there. And I talked and talked and talked and talked for about 2 or 3 minutes and said, "Folks, I forgot my sermon. It's in my office." And I ran from the pulpit, ran out the auditorium, ran over to the steps across the foyer, ran up 4 flights of stairs, up another half flight of stairs, into my office, unlocked my office, grabbed my outline off my desk, ran all the way back, and as I was coming up the platform, Brother Hiles was walking out the choir ready room onto the platform. And he said, if you weren't prepared enough to be here, you can just sit down, I'll take care of it. I woke up in a panic. That wasn't a dream, that's a nightmare. I'm not kidding, I had that dream. Cross my heart and hope Harry dies. This is the honest to God's truth. My wife will tell you this is true. That night, I had a copy of the sermon in my Bible. I had gone to the auditorium earlier that day, and I taped one to the inside of the pulpit. My secretary sang in the choir on the second row, and my secretary had a copy in her Bible. And my wife had a copy in her Bible on the second row down there. I had 5 copies of that sermon. You say, "You didn't." Yes, I did. I was not going to live that nightmare in reality. It scared me so bad. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't want us to live in fear. God does know that life doesn't stay the same. God knows that each and every moment of life that passes changes life. Too many people put themselves into fear because, well, something's different than it was before. Everything's not the same. This has changed. Guess what? Welcome to life. God does not want you to live in fear in spite of life changing. People come and people go. People die and people are born. So many live in depression. They feel all alone. They search for companionship, and they search in places that it destroys them. We go online to find someone to talk to, or go to places to find people with whom to spend time with. And may I say this, God tells us not to fear. We're looking for fellowship and companionship and talking in all the wrong places. We're looking for security in all the wrong places. Do I hear a pizza? I'm sorry, that was too good. God tells us not to fear and not to feel alone, because he's with us and he will be there to be with you, and he will help you. Can I tell you something? Can I give you some words that will encourage you? God will help you.
Amen.
God will help you. God is with you. Now, you can go through a lot in life knowing God's with you and that God will help you. Brother Mike called me about a little before 9 o'clock this morning, and he said, "Preacher, the bus has broke down." My pulse didn't race. My blood pressure didn't shoot up. Joyce, you saw me take the calls. Mrs. Lopez is singing on the bus, trying to keep everybody from killing each other. And we worked out a plan, and I got a hold of some folks and got them down to Winchester to put them in their vehicles and got everybody here. We reorganized Sunday school for the morning. Say, "Preacher, are you put out? Are you all upset? And are you worried?" No, I'm not worried about anything. God's with me. There wasn't anybody hurt. The bus wasn't smashed. We didn't have bus kids laying all over the road, broken bodies. We didn't have them killing anybody either. Can I tell you something? God's there to help us. Amen. And God is with us. I want to show you a sweet and wonderful truth that God has for you today. God not only says that he will help you, God says he wants to help you. God does not only want you to not live in fear, He makes living without fear available to you. Let me show you what I mean. And I must hurry. Number one, God says, fear not. God says, fear not. You do not have to live afraid in life. You do not have to be afraid of life. You say, why? Because God says, I am with thee. I can go one step farther. God not only is with you, if you're saved, God is in you. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God that moved inside you. And you will never be without Him.
Amen.
Do you know that no matter where I go, God is with me because He's inside me. I do not have to fear what man can do unto me, the psalm says. Say why? Because I got God in me. God tells us not to be dismayed. Look at verse number 10 again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That word dismayed is an interesting word. It means bewildered. It means confused. It means depressed. I love this one for us rednecks. It means dim. Not dim-witted, but dim, all right? Can I tell you something? Fear causes confusion. When people, did you ever see somebody that was afraid? And it's almost like they're just turning in a circle. Oh, I gotta do this. I scared some teenage girl one day, way back a long time ago. I scared her so bad that she kept her one foot on the ground. She just kept going in circles like this. It was great. It was really great. It really was. It was funny. Can I tell you something? When fear comes, confusion comes with it. When you're afraid, you don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, confusion settles in right away. You may not know this, but over in Africa and the Middle East and things, they have lions over there, obviously. And what happens is this, the female lions do the actual hunting. The male lions, what they'll do is they'll get on a little rise and they position themselves around where the prey come in. The lionesses will get close to the herd of animals they're going to take to lunch, become lunch. And then the male lions will all start roaring. And what happens is that noise starts going down into that little depression, but the prey animals don't know where it's coming from. And they begin to get confused. And in all of the confusion, it makes it much easier for the female lions then to take the prey. Those male lions will confuse what's going on down there. They're not paying attention to where the female lions are. The Bible says in the book of Peter, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, the devil is. The devil tries to confuse you so that he's got you. Fear causes confusion. Can I tell you something? 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. Therefore, fear does not come from God. Fear comes from man, but fear does not come from God. Can I tell you something? Don't you think... Well, let me say this. Everybody faces fear. But we can't allow fear to make our decisions for us. Don't you think there's a little bit of fear in this thing of building a church building for me? How'd you like to stick your neck out on the line saying, hey y'all, let's go build a church, and it's all done by a volunteer offering? You go spend $750,000 for building expenses, and you're not guaranteed the money's going to be there to pay for it. That takes a little bit of faith or foolishness. I'm not sure which yet. But we're doing it, amen? Can I tell you something? I love this. There's a little bit of fear involved in that. And then we'll get this done, and then we get, as of this week, we have had historic rains. We've never had this much rain in a 12-month period, and we're only in November already. Never in recorded history, since we've been taking records for 130-some years, have we had as much rain as we've had this year. Sure to know that it's the year we're trying to build. You cannot eliminate the fact that fear comes. But you can live so that fear doesn't control your life. I do not let the fear of what I don't know about the building process control the fact that we're building. Does that make sense to everybody? You can't control the fact that fear comes to you. Fear came to me that I said yes, that I would preach for Brother Isles. I couldn't control the fact that I was fearful. I could control the fact that I wasn't showing up without a sermon outline. Matter of fact, I had 5 of them stashed in there. You say, preacher, you really didn't? Yes, I did. I was scared to death. So God says, number one, fear not. I love this. God also says, I will strengthen thee. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Look at verse number 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God says he is going to help us. He's going to strengthen us. Sin causes the weakness of our lives. Do you know that sin causes the weakness in your body physically? Before man sinned, your body didn't age. Sin brings forth death. Therefore, the aging process and the hurting process began because of sin. Prior to that, there was no pain. There was no, well, not necessarily no pain, but there was limited pain because your body wasn't full of disease. It wasn't full of death. I don't move as much or as heavy of stuff as easy as I did 30 years ago. Now when I get up, it sounds like a box of Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. I can still get the job done, but it takes a little longer to get through the job, amen? There are some things I refuse to get picked up. Say, why? Because I have to watch out for me to say, if I do that, I'm not going to be able to keep up with everything else I got to get done tomorrow. I'm learning to look at it and work smarter, not harder. Amen? Now, I say that to say physically, sin causes weakness in our lives. The older you get, the less strong you are. At 51 years old, I'm still keeping a pretty aggressive schedule, but I pay the price for it a little more than I did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Emotional weakness comes because of sin. Do you know that some people are weak emotionally because we're sinners? I'm fairly strong emotionally. I don't let the emotion control me. I still control it. I can still tell myself, this is what I must do, and this is what this person needs. I must do it this way. Mental weakness comes. Some of you never had strength mentally. I'm not talking about special needs, but what I'm saying is this. Mental weakness comes. Look how much untruth we put into our brains. Sinful things break down the mind. Everybody doing okay? Okay, everybody look at me for just a second here. Supposed smart people say this thing happened because of a big bang, and over millions and millions of years, there was a single cell amoeba that formed. They don't know where it came from. But it began swimming for millions of years, and after millions of years, that single cell amoeba got lonely, decided if it could divide itself and be two. And because there was two, they then could have babies, and then more amoebas came, and more amoebas came. They finally decided if they came together, they could be a tadpole. They swam together as tadpoles and had more tadpoles, and then the tadpoles decided they were tired of swimming, and they wanted to come up on land. They jumped up on the land, started walking around, but their tail was getting in the way. They finally got their tail off. They could climb in the trees. Watch this. Then it got tired of being climbing in the trees and having a different kind of tail, decided it would teach in the college, and it's now called a professor.
That's believable.
Supposed smart people came up with that. How about in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth?
Amen.
The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. These same smart people tell you when you're born, you don't know what you are. You don't know what bathroom to use. When you're born, your birth certificate does not say to be determined later. You go out to the field, Brother Joe, and you got a bunch of calves born. It takes about that long to figure out if it's a bull or a cow. You say, why? Plumbing tells you. Anybody understand? Sorry, Miss Marsh. She's drinking coffee. She just about spit it all over everybody. Here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, she got it down. Now, they're real smart. They don't know what bathroom to use. Can I tell you something? It didn't take me long to figure out which one to use. Too many thoughts there. They want to call me mentally weak because I believe in God. God, your crutch. And you're the one who don't even know what bathroom to use. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
Ain't no hairy-legged man ever been attractive to me. Mm-mm. No desire to walk up and kiss any man in this room or any other man in the world. And the moment I do, fellas, take me out back and shoot me and get it over with. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? That's unnatural. That, you know, there's something wrong with that. We have people that are spiritually weak because of sin. We have allowed spiritual weakness into spiritual things. We've allowed bad doctrine to become acceptable. There's so many things I need to say, but I'm only halfway through. The word strengthen means courageous, to harden or to make strong. You know, a little junior high kid comes up and he's trying to show his muscle. He's in seventh grade, and it looks like a pea that got stuck in a straw. Look at that. I used to tell my boys, what am I looking at? Feel it, Dad. Feel it. It's hard. No, it's not. You know, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, the day you got a hair on your chest, you know, and one hair right there. Man, I'm a man. Let me see that thing. No more. Or he could shave with a pair of tweezers, amen? He's got to have a magnifying glass at the mirror to see it, but it's there. Got more peach on a fuzz than on his face. Now, wait a minute. We think that strength. Yeah. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going on in spite of fear. You don't have courage unless you have fear. No courage, no strength. No courage, no fear. You see, you have to have fear for necessitating courage. Fear steals our strength. But God says, I'll give you strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, just across the page in my Bible there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I tell you something? Matter of fact, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. God says, I will give you strength. I will help you. I will give you strength to go on. I didn't really feel like getting up a little after 4 this morning. I felt like the truck that hit me backed up twice in the night to make sure that it got me. Matter of fact, I was driving the truck that hit me. And it was fully loaded, amen? Can I tell you something? But I said, Lord, if I get up, will you keep me up? And I got up. And I'm as strong now as I was before I started moving Marcia yesterday. I really am. I'm feeling good. I don't hurt. Now, I might hurt later, but I'm not thinking about the hurt right now. You see, fear steals our strength. God says, I will give you strength. You'll get a burst of energy when you're fearful, but that adrenaline actually wears you out. It's like a sugar high. It'll keep you going for a little while, and then the crash. You know, the Snicker bar and Mountain Dew trick that you use in college. It'll get you through the next class hour, but by the time you hit chapel, you're about ready to die. Comatose. Don't give in to fear. Get the strength to go on. Strength doesn't mean mean and harsh. Strength does not mean brutish or emotionless. Strength does not mean mean. Strength means encouraging. You know, when I am able to give strength to someone, I'm able to encourage them. The word encourage means to put courage into. It doesn't mean beat them down. It means, look, you can make it. You can do it. We can get through this. Part of my life is being a cheerleader, so to speak. I am putting courage into people saying, and I ain't wearing no skirt, and I'm not carrying pom-poms. I saw a couple of you fellas going, don't worry. Don't worry. And I'm not going to wiggle when I walk either, just so you know. But my job is to put strength into people, put strength into relationships, put strength into marriages, put strength into people that have no strength, saying, we can do this. God is there. God will help you. Let's use his Bible. Let's get through this. And that's what gives us the courage to go on. It's cheering someone on. It's begging them to obey God and God's strength. Preaching gives me strength. Say why? Because I get to preach truth and beg people to do what God says. It will help you in your life. It's helping someone up, not yelling at them because they're down. Do you know if somebody walks in here and trips and falls on the floor, everybody laughing and everybody yelling at them that they fell doesn't pick them up? First thing we ought to do is pick them up. Say, it's okay. And then fall on the floor laughing. No. What I'm saying... Sorry. Can I tell you something? We ought not yell at people when they fall. We ought to pick them up. That will give you strength. God uses truth, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, to give us strength. That book right there will give you strength. Can I tell you something? People are afraid because they're dying and going to hell. Do you know somebody who gets saved shouldn't be afraid of death? Because we're going to go to heaven. Yeah. Somebody asked me... about Dr. Rice this week. Somebody held Dr. Rice up, was going to mug him one day and put a gun to his stomach and said, give me your wallet or I'm going to blow your brains out. Dr. Rice says, my brains are in my head, not my stomach. And you can't scare me with heaven. And the guy just looked at him. And Dr. Rice pushed the gun out of the way, opened up his Bible, and won the man to Christ. He said, boy, wasn't he fearless? No, I imagine he was a little fearful. But he was right. You can't scare me with heaven. We ought to have that kind of attitude that we're not afraid of death. Can I tell you something? Get in your Bible. Amen. Get to church more and hear it taught. Be to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. The more Bible you get, the stronger you will be. Amen. I'm telling you. get busy doing something for God, not just learning about God. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, I got to hurry. God says that not only will he help us, but he'll only help you when you do all you can do. And this is the part that stinks. I want you to notice something. Let's read Isaiah 41:10 together. Ready? Don't read it out loud. You just follow me. For fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will. What's the next word?
Help thee.
Help thee. Does God say he's going to do it all himself?
Nope.
Help does not mean he does it all and I watch him take care of my mess. Help means he jumps in with us to get through the mess.
Amen.
But you don't jump out.
That's right.
You see, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke doesn't mean you come to God, give him your problem, set it down and say, "Okay, I gave it to you." Walk away and expect God to pick it up. God's not welfare.
That's right. Amen.
God says, "You bring it to me, I'll hook up in the plow with you, and I'll help you pull the plow, but you're going to pull too."
That's right.
We're not to go to God like the Aladdin's lamp and rub the bottle when we pray and the genie pops out. You tell him what you want and shazam, there it all is. God says, "You come to me, ask me, I'll help you get the answer." God has given us many great gifts to help us with our building project. Can I tell you why? I kept telling everybody, you tithe, you do what God said do, God will take care of the rest. You quit tithing, we'll stop seeing God bless what God's doing with our building. We are to do what we're supposed to do, then God steps in and says, "Watch what I can do." Faith is doing everything you can the way God said do it, and when you run out, God says, "Let me show you what I got available." But it doesn't mean you stop doing everything you can do. Boy, that's good stuff. You have to do all that you can and then let him help, not do it all. Quit getting mad at God because you brought it to him and he didn't do it all. He didn't want to do it all. He didn't say he'd do it all. He said he would help you. It's like when your children come to you and say, "Can you help me with my homework?" They mean, "Will you give me all the answers?" You don't help them by giving them the answers. You help them by stepping them through what they're supposed to do to get to the answer. The devil wants to discourage and to distract you to where you will quit. Can I tell you something? The devil wants you to blame God because he didn't do it all. That's what the devil wants. That's not what God wants. "Well, I tried that and it didn't work." Huh, I wonder if you did it God's way. "Well, I tried this and I had more problems." God didn't promise to get all the problems gone. He promised to help you. God will not help you until you do your part. You know, Daniel had to be thrown into the lion's den before God got him out. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to go through the fiery furnace before God got them out. David had to pick up his sling and go face Goliath before Goliath got killed. They had to do what they could do in order for God to help. How'd you like to go up against Goliath with a slingshot? Mm-mm. Give me a 30-06, 50 cal, give me something, but I want some heavy-duty power here. God wants to help. God can help. But you have to do all you can to activate his help. God's help is not activated till you do your part. "Well, I need God in this area of my life." Do all you can and watch what God can do. "I need God to help me here." Then do all you can And watch what God can do. It doesn't mean you get immediate results either. It may take years, it may take decades, but God will help you. Same is true with getting saved. Our part is realizing we're sinners. Realizing because we're sinners, we deserve hell. Realizing you need a Savior. His part, He took care of your sin debt for you. All you got to do is trust Him to take you to heaven. Our part, accept it, trust it, and God takes care of it. Our part is not living a good life. Our part is not going to church and joining the church. Our part is not baptism or Lord's Supper. Our part is not doing something. It's realizing we need a Savior and accepting what He did for us. His part was paying the sin debt for us. That's what salvation's all about. Preacher, I live in fear. I don't. I have fear come visit me from time to time, but I don't live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. I didn't say I don't get afraid. I was telling somebody, I think I was telling Randy this week, one of my kids, God bless his pitiful little heart. I used to get up real early and pray and read my Bible in the basement, and his bedroom was down there. And I'd read and pray and get things done down there for a couple hours, and then I would walk by, holler, and reach in the doorway and flip the light switch on. Did that for years. One morning, I reached in, and a hand grabbed my hand in the dark. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how big you are. You're going to do exactly what I did and scream, "Whoa!" And hear this little impish sound.
Got you, Dad.
I had never experienced the hand reaching back in the dark. Good thing I wasn't packing. You say, "He got you." Mm-hmm. He sure did. It came and visited me. My pulse, by the way, did increase that morning. Blood pressure went through the roof for a second. Say, "Did you get mad?" How can you get mad when you're laughing so hard? He was on the floor crying. He was laughing so hard. I didn't turn the light on. Can I tell you something? Fear may come and visit you, but you don't have to live in fear. Fear brings confusion. God doesn't want you confused. He's not the author of confusion. God will strengthen you. God will help you. But notice, God doesn't do it all for you. He'll help. He doesn't do it all. We can't stop fear from coming, but we can stop it from controlling us. Life is constantly changing. You're getting older. We're all getting older. And the older you get, the more things change. Because what used to work doesn't work no more. Or it takes 10 times as long to get it to work. And if it don't work, if it don't hurt, it don't work. You know you're getting old when your pacemaker makes the garage door go up. You know you're getting old when you help the old lady across the street and find out it was your wife. Brother Harry told me that one. All right. Yeah, buddy. I plan on eating today. He's not, but I am. I mean, let's face it, folks. We can't stop all of it from coming, but we don't have to live in that. I love Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you. For I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. He'll use his words. He'll use the Holy Spirit. He'll use godly people. And I will help thee. He's not going to do it all, but he'll jump in and do his part. He'll help. It says, I will uphold thee by thy right hand. God wants to hold your hand. God's big enough to conquer every fear. and to help you through each and every step of life. I wonder if you're going to let him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. A verse you ought to memorize is Isaiah 41, verse 10. A verse that could change your life and revolutionize your life. Because we all have fear come to us, but we don't have to live in it. We all get weak, but we don't have to live weak lives. He'll strengthen us. But remember, His help is activated by our doing. We have to initiate it. I'd say, preacher, something in that sermon today is what I needed. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Many, many, many hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand. We'll have our invitation. If you need to come forward, come as far forward as you can. Use the altar, that's fine. If you like to maybe stay seated or kneel at your chair there to pray, that's fine too.